Every year I fall into the same trap on the first Sunday of Advent. There's this expectation that we're entering into this time of Advent, and I want to see baby Jesus. I want to see the manger scene, and the Christmas story, and the Annunciation. And what do we get? We get the apocalypse. We get some will be taken. We get these prophecies of catastrophe. And I'm sure if you're sitting down to read a gospel passage to your children or grandchildren, you would definitely not pick this one. This isn't your choice. You know, so we'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. If you were to choose that, we would question some things about your sanity. Yet the church gives us these readings to start this time of Advent. One of the holiest times of the year. One of the times of year that we most cherish as we prepare. So what in the world are we doing listening to these readings on this Sunday? And the key word for this weekend is vigilance. Learning to prepare. We have to do it less and less. We live in a world where you can ask Amazon to deliver things within 2 hours. From what I've heard in some of the rural areas, you pay for it and then 2 days later they say, oops, we had a delay and it's not arriving to your house until 2 days later, which would have been free if you wouldn't have paid for it. Yet we're not prepared. What are we preparing for? And I think vigilance for us as Catholics, it isn't just a Catholic guilt thing. It's not just be careful, don't take that cookie, don't run the stop sign, Jesus is watching you and he's going to get you. That's not Christian vigilance. That's not Catholic vigilance. Now, I would propose to you that vigilance consists in two questions that we need to be continually asking ourselves and looking for the responses in Christ. The first one is, who am I? And the second one is, where am I going? And the two questions are very much connected. But this first question, who am I, is the deep question of our identity. Original sin placed a doubt in the heart of the first man and the first woman as to whether or not they were loved. And that question has different nuances for men and for women. For men, it often takes this question, am I lovable? Is the question, am I capable? For women, often this question, am I lovable? Is a question of, am I desirable? And oftentimes throughout our lives, we're going to different places and asking this question, whether consciously and oftentimes unconsciously, going out and looking for these answers. Who am I? And sometimes we can find it in, or search for it in pleasure. Sometimes we can search for it in status. Oftentimes our jobs start to define us, our careers. In our society, when someone asks you who you are, it's, okay, what do you do? What's your career? There's an interesting story that I heard about this woman who's visiting France. And she sat down and asked this elderly Frenchman his name and what he did. And he says, well, I'm a tennis player. She's like, oh, well, you're a professional tennis player. He's like, no, I just really like playing tennis. It's my identity. More than your job. And I think there's a lesson in that for us. Who am I? What is my identity? What do I turn to? Who am I asking that question to? There's another story of a nun from the Missionaries of Charity who was working in a soup kitchen for homeless men in the inner city. And a kind of a rough crowd come in, and she tried to talk to a number of them, and she spoke to this one particular man, and he started to tell her his story. And he said, well, I was working with these people and with drug addicts, and I got a little bit curious and tried it once myself and got caught up in it. I'm a Catholic priest. Look at where I've fallen. And instead of judging, instead of, you know, saying, how can we help you? She turned to him, looked him in the eyes, and said, Father, can you give me your blessing? And for him, it was just this powerful moment of grace when he realized again who he was, that his life could still be a blessing for others. And it was the beginning of recovery for him. Perhaps most of us aren't in that position. We haven't fallen that far. But in some way or another, throughout the year, throughout as years go by, we forget who we truly are. We forget our identity as sons and daughters of God. We forget our identity as a blessing for others. And that's why this Advent season is a season where we're reminded of serving others. The service going around and the generosity isn't just because bonuses are coming at the end of the year. Maybe all that's involved in that. But God's plan in that is to remind each and every one of us that we are a blessing for others, that that's our identity. And then we can discover that through service, through self-giving. And then we have this identity that we are made for eternity. Sometimes we forget the depth of the symbols that we have. Within a few weeks, if I remember correctly, we'll have a forest up here of evergreen trees. And it's not just because we saw it in a magazine to, you know, let's decorate this year with, you know, evergreen trees. Next year we'll do palm trees. The evergreen trees have this deep sense of who we are, that we are created for eternity. They were chosen as this symbol. And hopefully every time you walk into your house and you see a Christmas tree there, or you drive by and see a Christmas tree, that this Advent season that we'll remember who we are. We are created for eternity. Are we treating our soul as if it were created for eternity and as if it will last forever? Oftentimes, in moments of our lives, we're forced to take care of our bodily health. Other times, through different situations that God allows, we're called to take care of our souls. How are we doing that on a daily basis? How am I recognizing my identity as a son or daughter of God and living as if my soul were to live forever? How am I taking care of that? How am I nurturing that? How am I going to God in prayer? How am I filling myself with good things? What is my spiritual diet, if I am truly a son or a daughter of God, to allow that to fill me up? And then we come to our second question. Where am I going? And here I'd like to connect it in. We already saw the tree. Let's throw some Christmas lights on it. The lights that we see are a symbol of stars. And for us who have Google Maps, stars probably aren't that important anymore for us. But in ancient times, stars were a way of navigation. It was a way of being able to get from one place to another. So much so that on top of that, astrology was built out of that as a way of navigating the spiritual world with its faults and errors. But the idea behind that, that seeing those stars is a way of navigating. And I think the first thing to take note of is the fact that we are going somewhere. We are pilgrims. That's our identity as Christians. We're moving through this world. It's not just this long stretch of nostalgia that we go through all the stages of life and then it's over. We're preparing for something. We're going somewhere that we need to navigate. We need to be able to look to the stars to be able to see where we're going, to get to that destination. That destination of eternity, a destination of eternal friendship with God that begins to be built here, that begins to be a shared relationship, that begins to be an understanding of who he is, so that when we get to these moments of apocalypse, there will be nothing to be afraid of, because it won't be the coming of this great and terrible judge, but it will be the encounter with the friend with whom I built a friendship over a lifetime. That's the invitation this Advent. And that's why the church offers us this moment of invitation to vigilance, because it's a vigilance that's meant to build out our relationship, to restore our identity, and to remind us where we're going this Advent. May God bless us all.